All right, Justin, what is this? What episode is this?
It's 31 or
32. 32? See, come on, man. You know, you got one job. You got one job to take care of, you know, keep track of this stuff.
People guess it.
Yeah, tonight, we, you know, a little different. Not a run-of-the-mill guest. Bundy's not here tonight. I got caught up. I had to go to Babe Ruth, South Boston. Babe Ruth won their second game, one more, and they win the first title South Boston has won, hopefully, in 13 years. So let's fucking go on that. So Mr. Bundles was back home, and I did this last second because Justin's not going to be around, and I got to get a couple of these in because I've been skipping it. So tonight I got a special guest, my guy Hunter Weston, a real-life cowboy. So I'll tell you, last week, you don't even know the story. I picked up my girlfriend and supposed to go somewhere. I forget what it was. And she had just passed the test to be an American citizen. So I wanted to take her out. And we just went out for lunch. And she wasn't working. So I started driving. She's like, where are we going? And I said, I don't know. Because that's what I do. I'll just drive and drive. And I was driving around New Hampshire, and it was cool. We drove by it was like a drive-in movie theater, and, you know, it was just a cool drive. And, man, I was driving for like an hour, hour and a half, and then I saw a thing that said, I think it was like Greenville, New Hampshire, and I knew that was out near like Townsend, Mass. So I knew I was kind of heading, you know, towards Massachusetts. So I took that road. And I was going down this winding country road, and I drove by this big farm, and they had a sign, we sell Wagyu beef. And I'm like, oh, man, those steaks are the best. And I pulled in, and I saw this kid over here, like, with another guy. They were, like, erecting some fence trying to keep the cattle in, and they crushed it, and they were, like, you know, they were doing manly things.
Yeah.
Manly things. And I went in, he sold me some steaks, and he showed me, we hit it off, and he was showing me a lot, you know, a lot of stuff I didn't know, and I got all kinds of, you know, some bacon, beef, and the steaks were unbelievable, just unbelievable. And you got to cook them right, though. You got to reverse sear them and then broil them. And it's not like a steak you want to just throw on the grill, right?
No, it's 100% pure blood Japanese Wagyu. The beef we raise is the beef you would find in a fancy class restaurant. This is not just regular Angus. This is high quality beef.
Yeah. I knew when I saw Wagyu, that's why I spun around and went in. And after talking to him for a while, I'm like, just an interesting cat. You know, he's big as a house. How tall are you?
6'7".
6'7", with the cowboy hat, with the boots, he's about 6'9". And just a good, you know, some people you meet, you just get, you get good vibes from him right away. You know, and right away, I liked him. And where I'm from and where I've been around most of my life, I don't meet many people like you. You know, I don't meet, mm-hmm. you know, cowboys and people that are, you know, raising cows making steaks, slaughtering,
just raising beef livestock is a full-time job. It is difficult. It's not easy.
So you, the whole process from what, like, can you?
From the second they are born to the second they get processed at our butcher shop. That's USDA approved.
Yeah, and where do you get these cows? Do they come from Japan or like?
Nope, they're embryo babies. So we take the embryo and put it in a Holstein. And after that, they have the baby. We take the baby. We raise them from there.
And how long's the process before they're, you know, older?
About 3 years.
Wow. So when did you know, like, you wanted to do this type of thing?
Well, it all started when my mother said I needed to get a job. This was around when I was 16 years old, just about to get my license and everything. And I was like, if I'm going to get a job, I want to learn a skill. I actually want to do something instead of just going to work at a grocery store or doing something. So I looked up local farm jobs, just basic stuff. I call up one of the farms, the Timberloss Farm in Ashburnham, Mass. Very, very great people I worked with over there. I called them up. I told them I was looking just for some work. And they told me they would get back to me 3 months later, and they did. At that time, I was playing basketball because I was in Sizer school. I think I was in 10th or 11th grade around that time, or just a little lower. I was young at that age.
North Middlesex?
No, that's after I went to North Middlesex. I didn't go to the new school, but I just got transferred over to Sizer School in Fitchburg around the Rotary. The charter school, there's only about like 200 something kids in that class from 7 to 12th. It's pretty small.
So what'd you go there for?
I went there because when I was in school, I couldn't really focus that well when I was around a bunch of kids. And when I was younger, when there was like a bunch of kids in the classroom, I was distracted very easy. I was a clown in the classroom.
Yeah, I can relate.
I like to make sure jokes. I didn't want to pay attention. I was the kid that was looking out the window like, man, what can I do in this world? I want to be someone.
Yeah. School wasn't for you?
No, I got through there. I graduated with a 3.4 GPA, and now I'm following my dreams as a full-time cowboy.
So what was your first job on the farm out there, and where was it?
Ashburnham, Mass.
Ashburnham.
It was just basic, like, splitting wood, cutting grass, weed whacking, taking care of horses. And yeah, it just went off from there, because after they were like, we don't have too much work for you for now. So then after that, I went to Mountain Lane in Temple, New Hampshire. Very great place. They have about 60 something horses there. It's a very good training place for people that are wanting to learn how to ride horses, for young kids all the way up to adults. They got plenty of horses to ride, and they got amazing people there that are very trained to help you learn.
Did you grow up with horses, like riding horses and stuff? Is this something you did later?
Nope. I started everything that I've done from scratch. So I had no rich parents, no handouts, no nothing. I made all my opportunities. I took every single opportunity, and I'm just going as I am right now.
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, obviously it's always good. People can see, you know, yeah, he didn't go to school, he did this, he did that. But I think the biggest thing is you're a hard worker, obviously.
Oh, very. I work about 60 to 70 hours a week. Yeah, and I don't mind it, because I choose to do it, because it's farming. So
what time you get up and what time?
I get up roughly right now, because I am going to the gym, so I'm getting up around 7, 8 o'clock. Oh, I'm trying to get up a little earlier, but it's kind of difficult because I'm working from 8 till about 5 or 6, and then I come back to Hilltop. I got to feed all those animals again for their second feeding, and then I go shower, get ready, and go to the gym. By that time, it's kind of pretty late. Then I come back, make food, my protein shake, and it's pretty late, because then I have about a 35 to 40 minute drive to the gym too, so it counts up the hours. But
I think
everyone has 24 hours in a day, so
yeah, who makes the best of it. But I think one of the things you said, it would be very difficult for me to do, is try to go to the gym after work, right, Justin?
Yeah, I gotta go before.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, especially now. Now, no question, I couldn't work all day and go to the gym. But maybe when I was younger, but I just think that's, you know, that's a tough assignment, especially working all day. But it just intrigues me, this type of stuff, because my whole life, just the opposite, right? I was always trying to get over and make a buck and sell drugs and steal and do whatever I had to do. And, you know, I was always able to, you know, same thing, eighth grade dropout. You know, I have no school experience to speak of. I got my GED in prison. But I never worked hard, but I get a lot of respect for people that like you that do that type of stuff. And I, especially now in this day and age, and some people would ride me for this, but it seems like, you know, maybe you say, oh, every guy that gets older looks back and says this, but it seems like we're getting soft and there's not a lot of real men out there anymore. You know, guys that are, you know, going out and earning their keep and supporting their family and just working hard, and you don't see a lot of it. And when the shit hits the fan, right, that's who does everybody look to solve these problems, you know? And so when I met you, I was just like, wow, this kid's, you know, he's very interesting, you know, to me. And like I said, I don't bump into too many cowboys, you know? Maybe we'll start doing the manly podcast. Once one out of every four, we'll have a real... I got to come on Mike Swans. Swans on Instagram, SWANZ. He's a good guy. He's a man's man. Yeah, I got to get him on soon. But when I was there at the farm, it was just, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but where I grew up and where I come around, it was just so cool. Like, I was so glad I took that ride. Mm-hmm. And I went by there, and then, you know, you were showing me everything you got going on. And I'll get into it a little more later. Obviously, I'll mention it on my Instagram, your business, and selling the beef. So how did you get to this farm? And did you start like this? Or do you work with someone else? Like, what's the deal with the selling the beef and stuff? Is it, do you have a cut in it? Are you working with someone else? Are you trying to get your own farm? What's the deal? What's your goals?
My goals in life is I raise beef livestock, so being a cowboy and getting all that experience. My big dream is being a full-time calf roper and just a roper in general, because I picked my first rope up at Tractor Supply because I wanted to rope really badly. So I went in, picked a rope up, went and started watching YouTube videos, picked up a plastic steer head, went to the farm, bought myself a square bale, put the steer head right in the bale and started practicing until I figured it out for myself. And then a couple years after that, I had the opportunity to go to Jason Duras's ranch roping clinic, where I learned the real basics of ranch roping, which was really amazing.
So that's like lassoing.
Yes, because that's where... What's going to retire my family, it's going to create a value. It's also going to show my kids, when I have my kids, that you can do anything in this world, because I started from nothing, meaning going off from the cowboy world. I'm from Townsend, Massachusetts, so there ain't no cowboys around that area unless you're driving at least 4 or 5 hours.
Up into New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very rural, Townsend, but like you said, you don't see cowboys around. I bet dollars to donuts that Justin's never seen a guy with a lasso on a horse, you know, wrestling up some doggies, as they say. Did you ever hear the song Rawhide?
Nope.
Oh my God, we got to play that for you.
Is it good?
Oh yeah, yeah. So when you said, you know, that's what you're going to do, like, how is that like a job? Like, you know, wrestling up, you know, whatever, with the lasso, what'd you call it? Roping. Roping.
So you can do that by knowing where rodeos, roping clinics. Oh. I'll be a teacher because that's what I want to be. I always want to help other people, because in this part right now, any other person that's been a champion roper has had the time of just consistent back-to-back sitting with a plastic steer head, just going back and forth, just reps, reps, reps. When you ask for help, there's help out there, but it costs money for their time. And it's very difficult because roping is a skill. It is not easy. When I picked up my first rope, I wrapped the rope around my head so many times. It was pretty funny. My mother was sitting outside. She's like, Junior, I don't think it's supposed to do that.
So now, like, what? You get on the horse and you literally, like...
I don't have any horse experience right now because that's very expensive for a horse. But yeah, most of the time right now, I just put in about 2 to 3 hours a day, if I can, of just straight, just learning the basics of just throwing a rope around a plastic steer head. Just muscle memory, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, repetition becomes retainment, right? Is that what it is? Pretty much, do something over and over. And so the selling the beef, what's the deal with that? Is this the guy, the farm you work for right now? Is that him? What's the company? What's that
about? The company name is New England Wagyu. I am the manager of Hilltop Farm. Excuse me, in Mason, New Hampshire. So I manage all the 75 animals that are on that farm and also take care of the ones on the big farm. So I'm the top hand and also the TMR specialist, which is abbreviated to total mixed ration, which is our feed other than grass. It's more of just two rectangle bales, four bins of brewer mash.
The old brewer mash, Justin. You know that.
Water, grain, and vitamins. And we also have a nutritionist guy that's been to Japan 50 times. So really? He's also been helping us because we also have the Japan recipe kind of that we feed to the cows also. So it also gives it the marbling, the taste, the texture, and also the healthiestness also. Because Wagyu, our Wagyu, is healthier than Atlantic salmon.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's really, really great stuff. When people start realizing how good it is and how healthy it is for you, because Wagyu has unsaturated fat, so it'll just go right through your system. It doesn't sit there. It doesn't cause any bad things for you.
You eat a lot of steak, obviously?
Yeah, I try to here and there. I won't go back to Angus because it tastes completely different.
Really? You're spoiled.
It's completely different. I will always eat Wagyu now because it's just you bite into the burger. It has so much juice in it, has so much texture, the taste. All you need is just salt and pepper on it, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. So you bite into Angus, you get this bland taste where you have a bad aftertaste. It just doesn't taste good.
I was telling some people, I was telling you when I went there that I get steak tips a lot and they're soaked in like marinade, like, you know, it's all garbage, right? All this, you know, they taste good. Some of them, I think they marinate them in Coca-Cola or something and they're delicious, right? They're so good. And a friend of mine got married last week. Shout out Musa, Crave Brand. He's the Crave guy. And I went to his wedding and he sent me an invitation a few months ago. And I never returned it to confirm I'd be going. And then maybe 2 months ago, he sent me like the email link to confirm I'd be at the wedding. And once again, I didn't send it back. And he's a real good kid, Moose. And I had his original invitation on my kitchen table. And I knew when it was. And I just said, I'm just going to go last second like I do everything else. I never know if I'm going to be around. So actually, when I got to the wedding, I didn't even have a seat at the table because I never sent my thing back. But what I'm getting at is I have a suit, which probably like you, I don't wear too often. Not like I go around.
I have a suit. It just sits in its bag now.
Exactly.
I use it once and it's all done.
I always joke when I get the suit on, I say, last time I had the suit on, I got a 3 to 5 because the only time I wore a suit was to go to court or a funeral. So I had the suit. It's a nice suit, and I had it dry cleaned. So the day of the wedding, I call my girl. She comes over. I'm already like 2 hours late for the wedding. Now I'm like, I'll just go to the reception. Take the suit out of the bag. I go to put the pants on. I go to button the pants, Justin.
It didn't work?
No. There was no...
You didn't use zip ties?
There was no button in those pants. And I had worn this suit maybe a year ago. All right? And it wasn't even close. So I had realized a few people had saw me and they're like, you know, people love to, you know, when people don't see you for a while, they're just so happy to let you know you put on weight, you know?
Oh, do they just come up to you?
Yeah. Especially friends like that I grew up with. They love busting balls. Like, wow, you got fat. Hey, how much weight you put on? So I had been hearing it anyway. So now, like 2 weeks ago, I stopped going back to the gym. I hadn't been to the gym in like 2 months. So now I'm doing a lot of cardio. I'm eating beef, eggs. I just cut out the beans today because I try to cut out the carbs. So I'm eating better. I'm doing cardio. I'm drinking. I stopped soda. It's been like 3 weeks now without a soda. So I was already, back in the groove. And like I said, all the garbage I'm eating, like even the steak tips I'd eat are soaked in some sugary marinade. And everything's garbage. Not everything, but a lot of stuff I'm eating is just sugar. Sugar's in everything. And I had to arrest it at least. If not, it's difficult to lose weight the older you get. But I'm eating a lot better. I'm drinking a lot more water. I cut out the soda. But the beef thing, it's not like I just, read something and said I want to go on one of these. What did I mention earlier? What's that diet?
Keto.
Keto, yeah. It's not like I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this or do that. But
keto, I think, is just straight meat, red meat.
Yeah.
That is nothing else, just straight meat.
That ain't going to work. But I mean, eggs, meat, stuff like that. Try to cut down on the carbs, calorie intake, and doing a lot of cardio is my thing. But just with the beef and everything, I'm trying to eat better, and I just think it's good, to eat more steaks. And when I went in there, because I love steak anyway. I love burgers, steak, bacon. Mm-hmm. I'm a big red meat guy. Always have been, And lately, there's been this thing like, all this stuff in the news and this, fake news. I think, right, where they're trying to say, oh, red meat's bad. And it's almost like a crusade against it. And I think that is complete bullshit. I think, you can't survive. You see these people that, I'm going to go on a little rant here against vegans. And if you're a vegan, you're probably not. No, I just see like there's no way you cannot eat protein and beef and eggs. And no, you're going to be frail. I think your immune system goes down. You get sick a lot easier. You're fucking weak. And you're not a manly man, as my guy Hunter Weston is here, right? What do you think about
that? Yes, sir.
No good, right?
No.
No good.
You're gonna have the whole food chain just in there. You're going to have your meats, your vegetables. You're going to have everything included.
Yeah, meat and potatoes guy.
Yeah. So I just got my... I was talking to my nutritionist guy for the gym to see what I'm just going to do for my eating schedule through the breakfast through dinner. So I'll be getting that all situated. I don't know off the top of my side of my head yet, but I can say it next time.
How old are you now, Hunter?
I am now 22 years old. 22. Today is my birthday. I turned 22 at 6:30, I think.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, my guy.
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday. Imagine that. And you're on the podcast. So you were, wow, today's your happy fucking birthday. 22. Just a young buck. So grew up all around Townsend. This weekend's might be the Fisherman's Feast. Have you ever been to the North End? You ever been to Boston?
I've been to Boston, but I really haven't been to Boston. I've just been to like here and there places kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put you on to a few places, all right? What I mean? Perfect. We're going to broaden your horizons. We're going to get you off the farm and into the city one of these days, maybe this weekend. So every year, the North End is an Italian enclave, I should say, right? You like that word, Justin? Enclave? Okay, it's an Italian section of Boston, the North End, that goes back to the, I don't know how long, Jesus, early 1900s, where most Italian immigrants, when they came to Boston, they usually settled in the North End or East Boston. Those are predominantly Italian neighborhoods, hence the best food in Boston because those Italians, One thing you don't hear, my grandparents and everything were Irish and parents, and you don't hear about, oh, let's go out to eat. Let's go have Irish food. No, you'll know, like, what the fuck, Italian food is, I like Chinese food, but that's not even Chinese food, these restaurants around here. They're like Polynesian, but yeah. So Italian, every August, every weekend they have like a religious feast in the North End where they bring out the statue, whether it's Saint Anthony, Madonna, or the Fisherman's Feast. And it's just like a, it's like a religious thing, and it's a celebration, and they have all the food carts out, and it's just a, it's a really good time. It's really impressive. And yeah, we got to get you down there. You know, we got to bring the cow. It's going to be like Crocodile Dundee. I think this guy, I'm going to be. You ever see the movie Crocodile Dundee? No. That's another one on the list. You're going to have to listen to Rawhide and watch Crocodile Dundee. But yeah, yeah. So you gotta, we gotta take you into the city. You know, you ever been to a Red Sox game or anything?
No, I haven't. It's just
Celtics.
No,
that's a no. We already know when you're gonna hesitate. Nope. So listen, Hunter. We're gonna, yeah. I see a project in this. Don't you?
Yeah.
Like
a little vlog series.
Yeah, I mean, I've never done a vlog series, but yeah, maybe. You know,
that's gonna be dope. I got a GoPro. We can just sit there and go like this all around town.
It's gonna be fun
as hell.
There you go. So now growing up, you who's around now? What do you got for family around there?
My mother, my stepfather, my two little sis, my little sister and brother, my big sister, and my two brothers, my grandparents, and
sounds like a pretty big family.
Oh yeah,
sounds like a big family. I have a friend from towns, and he's a good friend of mine, Joey Fanciullo, a good friend of mine from Lowell when we were younger, got in a lot of trouble. He's no longer with us. Rest in peace, Mike Stanovich. He was one of my closest friends, and he, like me, got in a lot of trouble. And I was actually with him in a stolen car. I got out of the car, a chase ensued, and he got killed in the chase, and he was decapitated. It was a bad thing. He was out. The chase happened out in Winchendon. That's got to be out around your way.
Yeah.
Winchendon, Mass. And when he was a kid, his mother died of a heroin overdose, and his father actually gave her the fatal dose. And whenever he'd see his father, we were 14 or 15, his father's like a homeless guy. He'd jump out and, you know, he'd beat the fuck out of him. And it was, he had a tough upbringing. And when we were in eighth grade, we were in and out of juvenile detention. And his aunt and uncle, who lived in Townsend, adopted him and, you know, tried to, you know, save him. And they saved his little brother, Richard, who was heading for a lot of trouble. But I think Mike was already too far gone, like with me. We were already starting to experiment with hard drugs, and we were already going to jail. We were 17 years old, and but they did good. But I remember when he moved to Townsend, it was a place called Timberley Park, and we used to go there, and it was like
Halloween.
Really, it was like no place I'd ever seen. You know, Townsend, and he had all these new friends, and like I said, it was just so different from where I grew up. You know, and one of his friends, the kid from Townsend, I know Joe Fanciullo, he nicknamed him Frenchie, and to this day, you know, he's probably 54, 55 years old, and everyone calls him Frenchie, and he's Italian. His last name's Fanciullo, and he's like, everyone thinks I'm French this day because you guys nicknamed me Frenchie. But I have a little, you know, association with Townsend. I started going out there with him, 16 years old, and going to parties, and I actually got arrested. I went to a party and stole three fur coats out of a closet of a house he was in, and when we were young. But yeah, Timberley Park, Squanicook River, and it was a cool place. It's not far from Lowell. It's probably, what, 30 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I'm not really good with directions.
Yeah. It's not that far, but I started going up there on the weekends, and, you know, I remember I when I was a kid, I never went fishing. I never did any of this stuff.
Fishing is fun.
Yes.
If you have patience, fishing is a great thing, but if you don't, you sit there and you cast it, and you're like – come here, fishy.
So I started fishing up there, Squanicook River, catching like trout. Now I'm 17, 18, and I'm selling a lot of white. And I started really getting into the fishing. Now I'm buying neoprene waders.
Oh, right.
I got stuff. So I'm going like the Squanicook River and the Niscataway River and Pepperell. I'm going up there with him, and we're fishing for trout. And it was a new experience to me. And I, like anything else I do, I was doing it all the time. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And I haven't done that in a long time. But just getting out in nature, and it's cool.
It's nice. You sit there, you hear the birds chirping, you just enjoy it. Yeah.
So after I met you and I put you on my Instagram story, you got a call from a few of your friends, did you?
No, it was the first time when you walked into Hilltop. Everyone called me. He's like, dude, you're on, what is it, Bean Shooter? Bent? Is that what it is?
Bean Shooter, yes. Bean,
you're on Bean Shooter's Snapchat story. I was like, oh, cool. It's like, all of my friends sat there and said that. I got like 22 people there just sitting there saying, dude, that's so badass. He's like, it's like, oh, that's cool.
And I was saying to my friends, dude, that was so badass. I met this fucking real life cowboy that was out, you know, fucking wrestling doggies. No, you were setting up the fucking stockade fence, and they, all day you were building it with that young kid. And then you let the cows out and they just trampled it, right? They just crushed it or something.
That's mostly what they do.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was good. But yeah, going out to towns, and I like that area, you know, it brings back memories. So when I was driving around her, I didn't know where the hell I was in New Hampshire. And then when I started seeing that, I didn't even know that farm I stopped at was Mason, New Hampshire. I didn't even know that. So does that border Townsend?
It's very close. If you were in the driveway like this, you backed out and you go.
Yeah, left.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the way I went. I drove through.
It takes about, I think, 15 minutes to get to Townsend. So pretty close.
I actually stopped at like a farm stand in Townsend and got some corn and watermelon and a bunch of stuff when I was with her afterwards. And I got home and cooked some corn and had a steak. It was unbelievable.
Wait till you try one of the steaks you bought.
Oh, I did. It was delicious. Oh, yeah. So, Justin, how about you? You like the Wagyu?
Love the Wagyu.
Do you?
Funny story, I had Wagyu burgers for the first time the other day, and I thought they were incredible. It was the best burger I ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was this?
Oh, I bought Wagyu meat and made burgers. It was better than any burger I've ever made.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, delicious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just had some too. I made some with my father last night out of that hamburger. It was unbelievable.
Now when you bit into it, what did you taste? Like, did you?
It was just like like you said, I didn't put a lot, ton of seasoning, just salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just different, like real juicy.
Different, juicy, like it actually absorbs in your mouth. It didn't give you an aftertaste either, right?
No, definitely not.
It was like an enjoyable thing where you don't have to sip water after to wash it down. Like it washed itself down.
Unbelievable. So what made you get the Wagyu burgers, Justin? I keep saying Wagyu.
It's Wagyu. I think what Diane said is it's, you say the G first. It's Wagyu.
Yeah.
Wagyu is what it is.
Yeah, Wagyu. I keep saying Wagyu. Yeah. Fucking idiot I am, right? So what made you get to Wagyu burgers?
I just keep hearing about how good they are. And I saw it on sale at the supermarket the other day. I said, you know what? I'm going to try it and make myself some burgers.
No, I just want to let you know.
Could have got the fake Wagyu, huh?
That's the fake Fugazi. Wagyu.
All right.
The super, so that's actually really good that we brought that up. So Wagyu, if it's at a Market Basket or anything, and it's pretty cheap, ground beef roughly is going for $8 to $9 a pound, just below that, right around there. Our ground beef, going off from just one of the stores that we have in that I've seen, is at $13.99 a pound. And that's real, real 100%. It's actually 99.9% real Wagyu. The Wagyu that's at the supermarket or any beef that you see there is a cross, which is an F1, which means that it's Angus and a Japanese cow put together. So both their semen's put together into a female cow. And basically at that point, you're eating Angus, but paying for the Wagyu value, which is very trashy, and they're lying to you at that point, and it's not good. That's why we're here. We're going to provide you with real stuff, and we're going to provide you with the best service and everything out there. We have a USDA-approved butcher shop. We have everything ready. And ready to go out there.
Yeah. So you're getting the you got Fugazi. You got the half and you got a cut. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, yeah. You know, like, Yeah, like when you're getting the white off right?
Trust me, you try our Wagyu, it's completely different because it's TMR fed. So we have a nutritionist way of feeding. So we feed with two rectangle bales, about 1,800 pounds of water. Then we do five bins of brewer's mash. We do about 1,800 pounds of grain. And then we do vitamins from Morrison's grain in Barnett, Vermont. That's from the, then we have, we put all that together and that mixes our total mixed ration, which when you see on our social media stories or any of our social medias in the feed bins, that's our food that we feed them. And we also allow them to be cows too. We don't stick them with taser rods. We don't like that. We let the cows just be cows. From the day they're born, from the day they're processed, they get grass and paddocks. They get their water. They get everything. We give them high top quality food and we just let them be cows at that point. We just take care of them every day. My job is to take care of them, keep an eye out for any of them that are sick, that are in pain, their coats, anything that just looks odd. I'll go out, take care of them, bring them back in, put them through the chute, take care of them immediately at that point.
Why? To make sure they don't like infect other cows or like what's the deal
with that? It's just to make sure, because when they get sick or hurt or anything, we like to do it immediately. We don't like to let it sit and wander and let it get worse. We just like to get it right on top of it.
How often does that happen, do you think? Maybe a cow gets sick or something?
Not often. It's just like us humans. It's nature. They're outside. We get sick here and there. They're going to get sick here and there. It's just Mother Nature at that point. They're outside. They got the weather, the grass, and everything. So it all just combines into that. They step on something.
What's their Instagram? I know I got yours. It's Hunter_Weston, right? WSTON. What's your Instagram?
Cowboy Weston is what it is.
Cowboy Weston.
So the other social medias are New England Wagyu and Hilltop Farm, Mason, New Hampshire. That's the other one. And we're also on all over TikTok. Diane has been has cooking videos on the New England Wagyu TikTok page. So you can check that out. She's an amazing cook.
Cool. I will. So, now, did you ever hear of Hilltop Steakhouse?
That's no. What I was thinking when you said
Hilltop. Yeah, right? You ever hear of that? No. Wow. So Hilltop Steakhouse is a legendary steakhouse. You know, years ago when I was growing up, there weren't many steakhouses. And Frank Jafrida's Hilltop Steakhouse in Saugus, it's just a New England staple, actually. They had like a cactus out front and the sign. And, you know, going there, you know, like I said, when I was growing up in the 70s, it was like a big deal going to that restaurant, like going to the Hilltop, you know. So I was thinking the same thing when I went there and I saw Hilltop. I was like, wow, I wonder if, you know, if the, you know, there was some type of, you know, relation or correlation between this and the Hilltop Steakhouse, because you guys have steaks. And maybe there is. Maybe there is some backstory. Maybe you guys supplied. How long have they been doing the steaks there?
The steaks, we have a couple restaurants. We've shipped to New York, Florida, and that's mostly all on this sales team. I don't know too much. I don't want to give false information.
Yeah.
But we do have a couple places. The Maple Barn down at the bottom of Temple Mountain.
How long have they had that business where they've been selling meat? Not that long?
They've had this business for at least, I think it's now almost 10 years.
All right. So
there's
that's
YouTube video right now. It is called, look up on YouTube, New England Wagyu. It'll show you'll see the emblem of ours, and it's Sam and Diane, and they're on their couch and they're explaining everything. It's a very, very educational video, and you guys need to watch it because it's going to explain a lot of things that we do here.
So
it's also going to gain a lot of trust.
when I put a little thing on yesterday that I was going to have you on the podcast, people were like, oh, give me his Instagram because, you know, I like steaks. I like Wagyu and, you know, maybe I'll get some. So I think it's you know, it's good. I mean, mm-hmm. it can't hurt you being on here and being on my Instagram. More people are going to see it. And
yeah, we can grow together because we work together.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'll take you to the city. So I see you get the note. My father walks around with a notepad and a pen in his pocket. And I see you have that. What's that now?
So this right here is a notepad and a pen. I have this right here. So when I'm feeding in the morning, I put their tag numbers down, and I also put to see, like, if any cow is limping, if any cow is, their ears are down, they're not up, meaning they're getting sick or something's up with them, or I need to keep an eye on them.
Can you make a note about me when I went there that my ears stick out and I was walking with a slight limp?
No.
All right, good.
Well, maybe it's all the way back.
I know my father's the same. My father's so old school with the notebook and the pen like that.
Well, it's simple and easy.
Yeah.
The social media thing where you can like sit there and type on like notes on your phone. But the thing is, your phone shuts off and there goes all that information. It's gone. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You can't get it back. Yo, I like old school ways.
Quick funny story. Another friend, a friend of that kid Frenchie's, and he's a friend of mine, Scotty. He ran a pizza place out there next to Townsend, maybe Greenville. What's the Townsend? What's next to Townsend? It's New West, Hampshire.
Ashby, New Hampshire.
Might have been Ashby. But this kid, listen to this one, Justin. Listen to this. Now, this kid refused to get a cell phone. He finally got one like a year ago. He told me, he goes, Scotty has a cell phone now. Now I'm talking 6 months, a year ago. So one time, Frenchie has season tickets to the Patriots. So every year we go to about three games. He sells the other tickets. And we get on and they get smashed and do their thing. And I'm sober. I'm always the designated driver. And you know, he's had season tickets for a while. So we get the whole thing set up. Well, we get the table set up, the cornhole, the grill. We get lobsters and steaks. And, you know, they do the whole tailgating thing. It's a whole thing, you know. And one time we drive back and they're stiff and it was raining. And it was a late game. Maybe a late game. But maybe it was 4 o'clock and we didn't get out of the parking lot till 9, you know, or midnight because you stay in the traffic on route. It's terrible. So we get all the way back to Lowell, and this kid, Scotty, from Ashby, or wherever he lives out there, he's named Max, I forget, but whatever. He'd park his truck in Market Basket off the highway. So we drop him off, and we get back to Frenchie's house, and Frenchie says to me, I left my keys in Scotty's truck. So now it's like 1 in the morning, and this kid's driving to Townsend, which is, you know, 45 minutes away from Lowell. So I said, call him. And he said, he doesn't have a cell phone. I said, what the fuck you mean? Like, who the fuck doesn't have a cell phone in fucking 2020? You know, it was probably 4 years ago, right? I go, you're joking. He goes, no. I goes, what does that mean? He goes, we got to go to his house. So it had been all day, the game. And yeah, so, I mean, we had no choice. The kid didn't have the keys to his house. We had to drive all the way there. Yeah, like 1:30 in the morning. And get his freaking keys so he could go home. But the point being is, this guy didn't even have a cell phone. And you with the notebook in your pocket. It's kind of like a, you know, a throwback going out to this, you know, like what you're doing. You know what I mean? And it's just madness. But I'm not big with cell phones anyway. I very rarely look at my phone. It's so funny, Justin. I don't need a phone. So the last couple days my Instagram has been going bananas. I don't know what's going on with it, but a lot of my videos on there are going viral at this moment. And last night I hit 181,000 followers, and just now I hit like 185,000 in like less than 24 hours. I got like 4,000 or 5,000, I think 5,000 followers in one day, which is, that might be a record on mine. So that's growing. So I gotta be careful what I post because, you know, Instagram removes a lot of stuff. You know, I might joke around with you breaking your balls. The next thing you know, they take down a post and what they do is they shadow ban you so nobody else can see you for like 10 days. And it just kills it. You know, like, you know, I've learned a little bit about it, algorithms. And, you know, when things are going good and all your videos are going crazy, and then when they just shut you down and it just kills you, it just kills you dead. So right now I've been gaining a lot of traction, as they say, and I got some, you know, a few companies reaching out to me that, you know, want me to sponsor them for a few bucks. Not, you know, not a lot of money, but, you know, it doesn't hurt. You know, it's not like I'm out, you know, fucking working on a farm or something. It's, you know, even if it ain't a lot of money, like I always said, like you, if you're on a farm and then you get a little money over here and you do this on the side or this, you know, a little here, it all adds up.
It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's you like, just take that and you just put it in a place where it's going to grow while you sleep.
Exactly. It's like drops of water in a bucket. And, you know, it's funny you said that while you sleep. I did that the other day. I have a small construction company where I do roofs and some siding. And I did a roof the other day, and it wasn't a big roof, but, you know, I have my guys all doing it. And I was up late. I was out, and I went home, and I, you know, I slept from like 1 to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, when you get older, you start taking naps. Someday, hopefully, you know this, you know. So
sometimes you just need to go take one.
Exactly. It happens. My point is, Justin, you?
I agree.
All right. Yeah, nap. But now sometimes you need a nap. So I went home, and I get up, and they finished the roof in like one day. And, you know, and I got paid, and I was just like, wow, I ended up, you know, making a few bucks. Like for one day, I did good, you know. And I'm like, that's the key. It, you know, I made money while I was sleeping today. Like, if you can figure out how to do that.
You just got to sell products.
Yeah, it took me till I was in my 40s.
You're working hourly.
Yeah, no, punching a clock, working for someone else, it's tough. But it's like being on vacation. When you're on vacation and I get a job or I'm collecting rent or something, I say, wow, you know, even if it's not a lot of money, I'm making money while I'm on a boat in Colombia with some friends, you know, or while I'm sleeping. And that's the goal. I remember seeing Warren Buffett or something one time, and he said, you know, the goal is to make money while you're sleeping. If you can figure out how to make money when you're sleeping, you're going to be all right.
Yeah, because then you won't have to work until you're dead.
Yeah, I could imagine. Because
working hourly, it is.
Now they're trying to raise the age of retirement or something. What is it? Social Security, right?
Bull crap.
Yeah, bull crap. Politics, I'm already sick of it, man. I'm sick of it. I can't believe it's going to be until November. And the way it's looking, I don't think Trump's going to win. I'd like him to because he's like a man's man, I think. Like, my biggest thing is I don't want electric cars. I don't want them outlawing gas stoves.
Hell
like,
no.
All this shit I can't stand. And I really shouldn't get to politics. I made a post the other day. I saw the cover of the New York Post, and it had this Algerian boxer. So the way the headline reads, I'm thinking it's like a guy beating up women. So I made this thing on my story. Oh, Justin. You know, I should just stick to yelling at people that crash their cars that they can't park there, or throwing iced coffees at people. It seems to be
you can't park there.
Yeah. That's my go-to. And yeah, I think that's the safer play than talking about politics and women's Olympic boxing. So then I get all these things. Well, she isn't a gender. I'm like, oh my God. You know what I mean? I thought it was cut and dry, but. And even the Italian boxer who quit is apologizing for calling her a guy. I don't know. I still don't understand. 50 people messaged me and said, well, it's this, it's that. And she was born and she's not a guy, but she's the gender tested. And I'm like, all right, listen, my head's about to explode.
Time to go drink.
I very rarely apologize, but I did kind of make a little mea culpa just saying, hey, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about, I guess. You know, people are saying she doesn't have a piece between her legs. I thought she did. That was my apology. That's exactly what I said. But yeah, just the Olympics now are such trash. And you know, I mean, there is good about it. I mean, the Olympic gymnast team, I mean, Simone Biles, just unfucking believable, right? I mean, just legendary. But a lot of it, like, I like, you know, the U.S. basketball suck. I mean, they almost lost to, who was it? Not Uganda. What?
South Sudan.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? And how about Steve Kerr benching Tatum? That was personal. I don't care what you say. Oh, I didn't realize it and this and that. That was fucking nonsense. But the Olympics for me right now are a turnoff. I'm not really interested except for tonight. I was watching. You ever see the Olympic ping pong?
No, I did see the Olympic volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. The ping pong's pretty interesting to watch. I don't know how.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. Those fucking people are unbelievable. You watch that at all, Justin?
They go fucking bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Where do they go, quick?
Oh, yeah, you got to watch it. It's unreal.
Sport.
Yeah, it is. We're going to open your eyes. And you know what? Your life's changing. Your life changed the second I walked through that door, my friend.
Yeah.
Me and Shin, he was probably like, who the fuck are these people? Me and my Chinese girlfriend, you know? Like, what the fuck? I'm sure you don't get the likes of me walking through your door every day looking for steaks, huh? Asking questions and making videos.
No, that's the people I want to be around because I like having social media. It's an easy way to get things out there and also to provide good information without having to get up and drive down the street for it. So it's going to save you time. Everyone has this 6-inch device. All you got to do is type in a name and there's all the information right there.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah.
You know, the date, time, what's like everything. You just want to make it simple.
It's the way of the future. And there's a lot, it's, you know, it's good and bad, you know?
Yeah, instead of complaining about it, you take advantage of it, use it.
Yeah, use it to your advantage.
Yes.
So what's next? I wouldn't even ask you to come on if it was your birthday. I would have let you celebrate. Where were you? You were out in Gardner? Were you with family? What were you doing?
Yeah, I was hanging out with my mother, and I was shooting hoops with my little brother and sister, and I was throwing a rope. So I just always have a rope in my hand.
Where'd you get the height from? Was your father? Do you know your real father?
My real father's mother's side. Someone in that family was around 6'10".
All right.
So it is. To make me look tiny.
I don't know about that. That's a tough assignment. How's your little brother? Is he a big kid also?
He's young. 6.
Is he going to be tall, you think? Do they think he's going to?
Hopefully. Yeah. He's like, because anytime he's always asking for piggyback rides, being picked up. And he's like, can we play basketball? He's 6 years old.
Oh, awesome.
They're twins, 6 and 6.
You're a good role model.
Oh, yes.
He sees you working hard.
Well, yeah, that's my big goal in life is when I have my own kids, I want them to see me as someone that didn't give up and this big, huge, valuable person. Like, I want to create something. Like, I want to create, because my big dream is to own my own horse training facility, being a champion roper, and also just being a full-time cowboy working for New England Wagyu. I'm the top hand there. In this business, the second people start realizing how good the texture and how healthy it is for you, it is going to be nationwide and it's going to be all over the world. We got everything we need. We got a USDA-approved butcher shop. We got everything ready to go. We're really close to get into a couple stores, and anything after that is just the people coming in and trying it. Is my biggest suggestion is trying it. And we also are trying very hard to make it affordable for everyone. That's understandable also.
Did you like when I put you on Instagram the other day with the what was the song, Cowboy?
Yeah, that was badass.
did you see that one?
Yes, I saw it.
With the old Kid Rock Cowboy song? But after I met him and he, you know, he hit me up, I says, oh, I got to get this guy on the pod. Because it's interesting to me. And now I'm, you got a customer in me. I mean, the steak was unreal. The burgers are unbelievable. And I haven't tried the beef bacon yet.
Trust me.
What's the deal with the beef bacon?
The beef bacon is really good. It's already smoked and everything. It's beef bellies. They just cut them up into bacon strips. They smoked it, put it in a vacuum sealed bag, and it's ready. It's banging.
I've dealt with some vacuum sealed bags in my day. I don't know why I didn't cook the bacon on the burger. Just seems
trust me, the Wagyu. Yeah, you take a bite out of it, you get the bacon and that at the same time.
What about the cheese? Put cheese on it or no?
For the first time, just try the burger. But the second time, try it with cheese. Just try it like a regular burger. But
see, because that's the thing. When I made the burgers the other night, I just said to my father, "You got some cheese, and what does he throw on it?"
He threw a mustard.
He just threw the cheap orange cheese.
Oh, it's like the plastic looking stuff.
Dude, it didn't even melt. The burger was about 110 degrees, right? Sizzling in the pan. I come out, he's got these. I go, "Where'd you get this fucking welfare cheese, right?" He's got it on the burger. It's still in the frying pan. The cheese is not. It looks like I could have peeled it back up and put it back in the fridge. It didn't even melt. So I think I dropped the ball there. Next time I'm not going to put any cheese on it, you know, but I'm going to go there this week and get some more steaks. And what else they got besides beef burgers, steaks and bacon? Well, that's basically. Oh yeah.
I haven't memorized the whole beef section we got, but I know we got a whole lot of sections that you can eat.
Yeah. They got like,
well, look up, newagyu.com, and that's our full website. You can scroll through. You have every piece of meat on there. You have recipes you can put our beef with. You have all the information. Everything is right there, so you don't even have to get up.
And I can't wait to take you to a game, and I want you to have the 10-gallon hat on.
Is that the 10-gallon hat?
I need you with the big one on with the
people. Sit here just like this.
And I'm gonna have him hold up a sign that says, "The person behind me can't see." All right, man. I'm gonna wrap it up. Hey, thanks for coming on, man.
It was a fucking pleasure, man.
I'm glad you came. And maybe we'll do it again. But I'm definitely gonna keep in touch. I'm gonna be up there buying steaks, and we gotta make that happen. Going to Fenway, a Celtics game.
Absolutely.
100%, right? Listen, Crocodile Dundee. You've never seen
Crocodile? Is it on Netflix?
I'm sure it is on Netflix. What do you think? It's on Netflix, Justin?
Yeah, it was on Netflix. It's awesome.
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee. Check it out. And I don't know what episode this is, Justin. Was this 31?
I think it was 33, actually.
33. You've done 33 episodes?
Yeah, we just started like 6 months ago, right? No, longer now, right?
Let's see,
Then I faded off and didn't do something for like a month and 3 weeks. I'm
32, right in the middle.
Trying to be more consistent. 32 in the books, man. Thank you again for coming on, and happy birthday.